Have you ever thought of recording your own podcast? Well, now with Anchor, you can go ahead and create your podcast for free with Anchor. And the most easiest way to do it, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right on your phone or computer. Best of all, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello guys. Before we get on to today's episode, I wanted to talk a bit about Virtual Shield. Virtual Shield is one of the best VPN services to protect your privacy wherever you're in your desktop, laptop, or your mobile phone, traveling abroad, somewhere in the world. Here in the digital world, we are always never aware what will happen to us in our data getting exposed out in the real world. But with Virtual Shield, you are always in good hands. The Virtual Shield has been a gift of good and has been a lifesaver whenever I've been traveling around domestically or even internationally. And it's always going to be in good hands whenever you are inside of a hotel, airport, or a coffee shop, for instance. And whenever you are in a open hotspot out like that, you will always going to be at risk of hackers and people that will be snooping on your devices. Please, never go out without privacy and security again, period. Virtual Shield is available on all major platforms and operating systems. For instance, Windows, Apple, Macs, and if you're traveling on the go on your mobile phone, for instance, if you have an iPhone or an Android on the go, Virtual Shield has an app for that too. Virtual Shield has you covered. What are you waiting for right now too? Now is a good time to get it. And whenever you are traveling, this will be a lifesaver for you for many, many days to come. Virtual Shield affiliate link down in the description below. Hello, guys. Thanks for listening to the Leon LaGrea podcast. Your host here again, Leon. This is episode 96 on the Leon LaGrea podcast. Man, I've missed out some news that I missed since last week. I did one podcast since over the weekend. I did that and it was cool. I get to publish one episode that time of last week. But I hope I can just go ahead and get some time over and get to do more commentary, news, things like that too. I've been kind of slacking because I've been busy with, like I've said, busy on my Twitch streams. My community is growing extremely abruptly fast, so I hope I can get onto podcasting more so frequently than ever before. So definitely, we're going to go and get right onto the stories, the headlines I've missed out this week. And today we are going to talk a lot on the news in the world tech, and especially things have been going down in the stock market and things like that too. So let's go ahead and get down with a couple of things that came up today, which was very wild. And we're going to go ahead and get on to the topic of the stocks, the market, and it was pumbling close to 3,000 points, and which these points I've listened to on the news, which shows how much of a bubble we are in here in this rough times with the coronavirus and the fact it's affecting the markets. Now, the good thing we've actually seen is that the price gouge and expenditures has definitely increased with these supermarkets, which there's been massive buying, and then the fact that everybody is buying, it's definitely giving these stores a positive week of all these shoppers. Now, we're not going to know how long that's going to last, because it'll come soaring and then it's going to come falling down as anything goes, because one thing I've actually did talk about on my last podcast, which is the supply and demand on the hand sanitizers, right? And a lot of the things and that I've talked about here, or pretty much there's always a price of demand. When people find an opportunity, they'll purchase every clean products that is there is to know, and they'll go ahead and try to sell it. However, whatever comes best from the free markets, anytime someone tries to do anything like that, try to up price anything, sure, it'll make the stores money, but I know the online stores or online outlets are going to say no to that too, which that's a big no-no, and which I've talked about in my last story, which I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. And if you've not heard from my last podcast about the Tennessee man that purchased close to 8,000 bottles, I recommend you checking out the last podcast on it. So I know this week we're going to go ahead and talk about a couple things that's been going into today's show, especially one of the news was Google, that Google is going through releasing a new blog from their YouTube blog, which is starting to become very controversial. And I just heard about this from a YouTuber about this very rare recently, though it wasn't something that came to my attention, and I don't follow up on the YouTube blogs because I'm not extremely active on the community. Then plus YouTube isn't like the best passion that I ever enjoyed, especially I wanted to do that for one point or the other, but again, I may have had talked about why I never wanted to get into YouTube, but this blog will definitely open some ears for anybody listening, and if for anyone is going to do content on YouTube, it's going to be very, very hard, and this is going to open up to people that have never heard about the news. So then later on to today's topics of the story, which I'm going to read about SpaceX supports launch attempt of 6th batch of Starlink satellites due to engine power issues. And then the big thing we're going to talk about, since now we are going through the still in the middle of a coronavirus, and we're going to be talking about WFH, if you don't know what that stands for, it means work from home, and which a lot of people are having a hard time getting back into their jobs due to the virus and endangering themselves out in the real world. And we're definitely going to talk about why it's so important to go through WFH at this time, throughout times like this too, because I know everybody at this point are going to have to start going digital. This is a great thing. I think it's a very much of a great thing. Now, there are great benefits to WFH, and the good parts about it, and then the negative parts about why it wouldn't be a good thing for many people. But I think personally, WFH will be a thing that everybody's going to have to start getting onto, if whether people like it or not. This is the way we're going to have to shift things through while we are sitting on a new present of our own new reality. So get yourself strapped up. We're going to go ahead and get on with the news, and from here on the tech. And in fact, I will try to talk about a couple things, especially about the COVID-19 related topics a bit in my podcast, which has to do a bit of tech part on it. And especially if I get the time, and hopefully I don't blabber. I know I'll try to get on with this Apple story in just a moment right here. So first is first, let's go ahead and get on with the story, which we're going to go ahead and nail Google on this one, which states here on the TechSpot, which I'll put the link down below so you guys could read it yourself. And so it's Google asks its North American employees to work from home due to coronavirus concerns. Now, this is quite interesting for Google to do something like this too, especially a multi-billion dollar company. Now, one thing, it just questions me about Google a lot too. Man, I have no idea why, and this is actually beyond me, that they haven't even thought about this sooner. But you know what's most of me important? I think with with the coronavirus going on, or AKA COVID-19, that's been all over the damn news right now too. Which that's all you're hearing is coronavirus that got hit in this country and that country and everywhere else. Now, my concern or my thinking is, why hasn't Google thought about this sooner about doing a work at home kind of workplace? This is where this needs to be put down. Why on earth a multi-billion dollar company haven't thought about this, Drew? And this is where they should have had thought about it too before too. And where I was listening to a creator talking about how much they, even he said himself that Google as a billion, multi-billion dollar company couldn't, of all that money, they could have had let their employees work from home a long time ago. So they were like, I don't know if we'd be able to do that because of this and that and this and all these sort of excuses. They wouldn't want to do because of that too. Now, I think this pretty much hits the nail with Google. And then, of course, Google and YouTube has had so many controversies over the years. Why I think this should have been placed up a long time ago. And Google, yeah, as much as Google has been a great search engine over the years, and yes, it's behemoth of the company and the largest search engine throughout the entire internet. I think they would have done this and thought about this sooner. So, oh hey, we could use more people from work from home, and this is where it just starts to rattle me. It's like, why didn't they not do this? Because otherwise, Google would have been much popular. There would have been people staying at home instead of going to the main corporate office in Mountain View, California. I would have thought, we could have just got more people to work over there too. And I'm sure there are Google headquarters, not just Mountain View, but you're talking about headquarters over in parts of the country that they have offices there too. But that's my concern, is why haven't they not done this before? I think it's totally ridiculous, but anyways, let's go and move on with the top story, which says on this article, the coronavirus outbreak is wreaking havoc on the tech industry as an increasing number of worldwide workers are staying home, otherwise avoiding unnecessary travel. Markets have been disrupted and major conventions like GTC, MWC, GDC, and E3, my guess with E3 for Google is Stadia, which hasn't had a good reputation so far. Not too surprising. But I wish I know. That's one criticism that Google has had very, very recently as of this point, because of their shitty hardware they've gone through. But anyways, let me not talk about this further. So continue on with the story. Have been canceled or changed significantly. Now Google, one of the largest tech firms around, is telling all of its North America-based employees to avoid going to the office as long their role allows them to do so. Workers are advised to stay home and their best to telecommunicate, given that Google employs well over 100,000 people globally, many of which are concentrated of just a few NA work locations. This is currently not a bad call from company leaders. And this is what bothers me, because a big company like that, big company, which I don't understand. I really don't understand the leadership with Google. And I'm not trying to be critical. I mean, believe me, this is one of the biggest companies around the internet. They should have done this a long time ago. And given the opportunity for current Google employees to let them work at home already, even if there wasn't a virus, I just don't understand that too. I really don't understand why they couldn't let them stay home in the first place and work from the comfort of their own work office or workspace and office. They wouldn't have to do all this traveling around and commuting, which is very unreal. Don't know what, why, but that's actually beyond. That's just baffling beyond me. So reading on here on the next paragraph states, notably, through this decision, does not appear to be a strict mandate. Google says it's a recommendation, born out of abundance of caution. Of course, even if it's not a hard, fast rule, we expect that most employees will welcome the opportunity to work from the comfort of their couch or office, home office, a virus or no virus. Google is pulling a soft deadline on its recommendation. Employees are asked to work from home between March 12th through April 10th, which is an interesting but seriously arbitrary time frame. It's not likely that COVID-19 will be eradicated by mid-April after all, but perhaps the search giant is looking at it from a different and unknown to us perspective. I do not get this. This is where I think it becomes very this is very unreal. I think it's very unreal that the search is giant. But and then also you read on the headline on you read on this that's what kind of it's bothersome. Like, they should have had ranged a WFH arrangement a long time ago. This is where I don't understand. And I think if I had to give credit to any company doing WFH, it will be Microsoft, which I know that they are trying to pull down a WFH for all Microsoft employees, which is great. Well, I will get into that article from TechCrunch in just a moment. And that's one thing I would say with Google. Don't get me wrong, there's been great things I've liked about YouTube over the years. Many years I've been using YouTube, and YouTube has tons and tons of content. And I've had my YouTube account since 2009. I've actually had earlier accounts since before then, but I've had my first true account since 2008, 2009. And I've continued to use that since then. And I've loved the YouTuber community, but it's changing a lot. It's not going the way it's going. And personally, I wouldn't even want to continue to make money. If I was a creator, I would just drop off and say, nope, thank you. Not going through the route of making money for a corporation that's continue to silent voices and silence anyone that goes against the status quo of Google. I think it's totally arbitrary, wrong on it too, and draconian. For me, that's how I see it. And so in this blog, and we're going to go ahead and bring up this blog right here, which it states here, protecting our extended workforce and the community. So let's get on to this article on this blog. Today is the unprecedented COVID-19 situation continues. Google outlined how it's reducing the need for people to come into its offices while ensuring that its products continue to operate for everyone. We are committed to keeping the YouTube community informed about our actions related to COVID-19 in a dedicated location in our help center. Okay, sure. I'll have to read that. Here is our update from last week. Below is some more information about the reduction of in-office staffing as it relates to YouTube. Okay, so let's get onto this. So continuing on forward, we have teams at YouTube as well as partner companies that have helped us support and protect the YouTube community for people who respond to user and creator questions, to reviews and evaluate videos for possible policy violations. I had something in my mouth. Give me just a moment. These teams and companies are staffed by thousands of people dedicated to helping users and creators as the coronavirus response evolves. We are taking the steps needed to prioritize the well-being of our employees and extended workforce. Okay, sounds very good, right? That's probably a good step. So let's continue on here. And the communities where they live, including reducing in-office staffing and certain sites. Okay, just reading that here. They're pretty much being open about this. And if you read on the blog, they said including reducing in-office staffing and current sites. Wow, I don't see that being a very progressive company. Okay, not a very progressive thing to do for a tech company. So moving on forward, our community guidelines enforcement today is based on a combination of people and technology. Machine learning helps detect potentially harmful content and then sends it to human reviewers for assignment. As a result of the new measures we're taking, we will temporarily start relying more on technology to help with some of the work normally done by reviewers. Wow. Okay. It just means all the systems will start removing some content without human review. Wow. So we can continue to act quickly to remove violated content and protect our ecosystem while we have workplace protections in place. I don't get this. They're being very open. And just to stop. Let me stop and say this right here too. I think this is taking such a big hit with their the community of YouTube. See, this is where this just I'm blatantly wrong about this whole thing right here too. I just don't agree with this decision right here too. And this is where I find it very wrong as a company. And not also just that too, is I find if YouTube wants to continue to be better, why not bring humans? Because machine learning doesn't solve anything. Personally, the machines can only do so much. And imagine this too. Why are you going to reduce the staffing? Because the staffing, humans are actually very, very important. And you read this article right here, and this is what it tells me. They really don't want any human to review it. No person wants to review any video from YouTube. I think this is where the nail hits the coffin straight off. And now nobody has no say on it, and nobody can reach out to a real person to review these things. And the machine can tell you, nope, sorry, you're not talking to a human in the other line. That's where I find it to be ridiculous. And I think the part of it I find that is so wrong is that Google is not the most progressive, forward-thinking company. This is, by all means, backwards. Look at that, too. Why would you want to reduce the size of the company? Everyone, we're talking about billions of uploaders posting up YouTube every single day. And this whole reduction doesn't make a lot of sense. And you're throwing people away out of their jobs. And you're telling that you cannot afford to pay or a human to review each video one after the other. I don't get that. And what are you trying to combat on the new COVID-19? I mean, a lot of people are reporting on this as well. And this is where I find that to be a very regressive way of thinking. Oh my God. I seriously don't think this is the best decision. And they're very being open about this on their blog. In fact, you guys listening to this podcast, please read this blog. They are so open about this whole, so much of the algorithm and bot control, and it's definitely going to kill jobs for humans that are looking to work for YouTube. And this is where I could see jobs would have been created, and the idea of working at home. In fact, why would anyone want to go to an office at this point with all that's happening? Heck, I wouldn't even want to go to a California office and commute and deal with the nasty airborne in Cali or whatever or wherever, right? I just find it to be I find that to be much more convenient to work at home than to go to handle the stress and traffic in morning rush hour traffic. It's just it'd be quite realistic, but Google is like, no, we need to save much more money. And that just tells you right there. I find that the thinking is very, very progressive. So we're gonna go ahead and continue on forward. Don't want to try to ramble too much, but I want to get into other articles so we can read through this as best as we can in this blog. As we do this, users and creators may see increased video removals, including some videos that may not violate policies. We won't issue strikes on this content, except in cases where we have high confidence that it's violative. Excuse me. If creators think that their content was removed in error, they can appeal the decision. But how? How, Sway? This is very backwards. That's why I'm saying that you gotta get a human to review it. Machines will not do the best job. I think this is wrong. And our teams will take a look. Alright? However, note to our workforce, precautions will also reduce in delay appeal reviews. We'll also be more cautious about what content gets promoted, including live streams. In some cases, unreviewed content may not be available via search on the homepage or in recommendations. Jesus. All legible creators will still be able to monetize videos, and this does not change the updates on monetizations of coronavirus-related videos we shared last week, and will continue to enforce our policies regarding coronavirus content, including removing videos that discourage people from seeking medical treatment or claim harmful substance of health benefits. Gosh, why? Like, first of all, this is one thing I will say. What if I myself just wanted to talk about the subject of COVID-19, for instance, on my channel? Of my YouTube channel. But let's say if I just don't care to make any money, what if I didn't want to? That's one thing I don't get with this new policy. And because for me, if I make a video on YouTube, I would care less with the monetization as the creator, because YouTube can pull down your monetization if they didn't like what you had to say or whatever this is. Plus, most of my channel has nothing to do with medical-based decisions. Nothing And there's nothing in my channel that would say, hey, people, please don't seek medical seeking advice. Which, that's something that's beyond baffling here. Ah, Jesus. And so continue on forward. So that way I could just read this part right here. The situation with coronavirus continues to change day by day, and we'll continue to take the steps needed to protect our teams and the coronavirus where they live. This may affect additional types of YouTube user and creator support and reviews, such as applications for a YouTube partner program or resources on social media. To stay up to date on any changes in our services and our broader responses to the coronavirus, continue to check the help center. Please. We recommend this may be a disruption for users and creators, but know this is the right thing to do for the people who work to keep YouTube safe for the broader community. We appreciate everyone's patience as we take these steps during this challenging time. Bullshit. I find this be very bullshit. Oh, heavens. And plus, on this page, I could tell that they don't have a comment session here. Let me scroll down. Don't they have a comment session? Oh, wait a minute. Look. No, they do not. Oh, they do not. Yeah, they don't care about people's voices now. Man, what happened to, hey, broadcast yourself. You know, what happened to the days of YouTube? Holy Moses. You know, and this is where I find it baffling right here too. Like, seeing as a, and the question beyond this with COVID-19 and their responses, say, yeah, we're going to let Google employees work from home only throughout, here's the catch, only throughout a certain period of time. And that's what irritates me too. Now, the only thing I would say with Google is they are mostly hiring contractors, but they are pretty much leaving employees under the table, scruffly under the table. They just don't care on the employee side. And the way I can go on talking and slamming on Google most of the podcast, but I would rather not at this point. And we'll probably talk about the worst decisions they've done in the last several years right now too. But as far as this goes though, this is most regressive, backward ass decisions they've ever made. Period. And they really screwed this up. And I think if it was someone that was on Google, for the love of God, fire the CEO, whoever the guy's name is, and also that lady from YouTube, current CEO Susan Wojcicki, the board should step up and say, listen, you're not doing well, we're gonna need you to resign. But I know that these people at the top heads of Google, they're not gonna do a damn thing. They're not gonna resign. That is for sure the way I can say this too. And I think it's one of the most dumbest decisions up to date right there too. And I think that anyone that's doing content on coronavirus as of now, I know that we are going through serious times right now, but what, imagine about this, like what happens if a YouTuber are talking about this, like let's say on a news perspective, like, or commentarial perspective. I think there's going to be a lot more censorship than ever before, and this is where I see the hard nail in the coffin right there too. Like certain topics you can't speak on the platform. I think it's very, very wrong, and that's why I see more alternative tech rising, like especially BitChute, Library, Steemit, all these other platforms out there rising up at this point. And I think we definitely need to break this whole behemoth of a giant. And I think that does definitely discourage anyone like me to continue making videos, because I just don't think this is well
well suited for me to do anything. Like at one point I wanted to do content creating, but this is definitely a huge discouragement to anyone like me too. But that's where I makes me want to leave the platform in a snap, just like that. So as I can say is that they're really destroying and killing your own platform the way I see it. This is sad. So let's get on with the next story. Since now I've really rambled up too much on Google. Yeah, now the next topic here, we're going to get on to, which is another work at home story, which this is from Microsoft, which states Microsoft Teams goes down just as everyone starts working from home. So this is one of the great examples why I think it's one of the best ideas, and I think it's very, very good. So this article is coming from TechCrunch that states a lot of workers are staying at home because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Countries are shutting borders. Entire industries are struggling. The U.S. Federal Reserve has slashed interest rates, and governments are scrambling to protect their populations by asking millions to stay at home, which is something we are exactly what we're doing right now throughout this current time, which I think this, and where I see it is that this is quite necessary. And I think the way the Federal Reserve is slashing interest rate on a very, very low, and now it's cutting it down to zero. Look at how much we are cutting interest rates. This is not a good idea, but I will definitely have my comments on that on a later podcast. Probably by the next episode, I will talk about the Federal Reserve on this one. What I think about the Fed. But anyways, we're going to go and continue on from here. Surface to say that Microsoft team outage right now is not exactly helpful. The technology giant let a cryptic message, which at least is more than its users can do right now, on Twitter, stating that it's received reports that impacts associated with TM206544 is ongoing. We're investigating the issue, said Microsoft. It's Microsoft Teams' second outage in as many months, or the software giant forgot to review a TLS HTTPS certificate, forcing the service offline and leaving users unable to communicate with colleagues for hours. Oof, that's actually pretty tough. That's really, really tough. But I think that I know that Microsoft does have a good server base, which I think that's a really bad start. A really bad start. Just when everyone starts working at home, that's a no bueno. That's really no bueno. Now, looking at the source here, I was looking into the comments over on TC, TechCrunch here. Now, what I can definitely see over here with TechCrunch, I will say and verify that do not know how real the story is, but I have no idea. Like, especially since I will say that the best thing with Microsoft is that they are doing a WFT for everyone that can work from the comfort of their own home. But for the Microsoft team to go down, I don't know. That's really not believable. Reading the headlines, in fact, of the matter is that this is not the longest headline that they went on to detail. I probably could say and verify that it is quite fake news on it, and not the best way, of course. Which I'm actually going through the comments on TC, which says they maybe someone forget to log in their corporate VPN before writing a story. Oof. And from this guy right here, and Fred Miles comments down below, which he states, it is fake news. Teams is not down at all. I'm currently on it. No downtime so far. Huh. Very interesting. So probably not the brightest of the TechCrunch writers here too. Honestly, this is where I kind of questioned their integrity as journalists too. Not to put all journalists down, but my gosh, I think that's really unbelievable. As a journalist, I think though they've actually had some good stories they written in the past, which is, I think it's cool, but I think not the best article I've read. But however, it is quite true that Microsoft, Facebook, it is letting their users work from home, which is good. I say that for people that are working for these companies, especially in real life, we're gonna have it really, really hard, especially throughout the times. And since most of the people working at home, they're gonna be pretty much isolated. Taken from my experience, I've actually worked from home as a contractor with Comcast, with one of the contracting companies here. Which I'll say though, there's tons of ISP contractors everywhere. You guys can look it up on Glassdoor, Indeed, and to the job search engines. And trust me, there's tons of people looking for contractors. And you can take it from a former ISP guy myself. And I will tell you that now that the way we're seeing is that we're definitely seeing a popularity on the rise for work from home, and I think it is one of the most popular decisions to look up from that point. So anyone looking for work at home, it is still one of the best decisions. And trust me right there too. I would do it again, and especially someone or anyone that's trying to work from home. I think for me, working in, let's say, retail, for example, I don't think it's the best decision that anyone wants to go work for retail, stocking on shelves for food and stocking all that mess for any company whatsoever. I think it is one of the best decisions. Though one of the disadvantages, I will say, is that the social life is going to be limited. You're going to be through a chat room for most of the time when you're working at home or working with a supervisor. I think there are great aspects and great components of working inside your own home. Now, I will say, from me coming from someone that have worked at my own home as a contractor, will have a good, and definitely there's tons of good benefits if you stay with them for a good long run too. Now, however, with just like any contracting job, a lot of things will change within the span of 3 months, and you definitely have to quickly adjust to the changes. And especially where things are going in the tech world, they're always moving quick, so you definitely have to work around it too. And one other experience I will say is that I actually worked home with a company called Sites. Sites is definitely a great company that I've worked in, and great. It's also a great contracting job, which I've actually worked there throughout the season. Though the company didn't keep me while I was in the TurboTax department. So TurboTax did let me go throughout the season, and they pretty much laid me off because of it too. But overall, Sites is a very good company to work for as a contractor. So if you guys probably at the end of the podcast can look up Sites and do a quick search, which I definitely recommend. But there are some worse contracting companies too. So keep in mind is that for anyone is looking to work at home, and probably the best advice is look into more research. Make sure you look over through job reviews, people's experiences, things like that too. And I've actually say that I've worked with a company. I stay through toughening it up I was working for a Wi-Fi division over there, working with people over the phone, doing tech support, which I definitely much enjoyed. Now, there were plenty of good experiences, plenty of bad experience, for instance, dealing with the pressure with different customers that don't know what they're doing, and you have to help people connect their Wi-Fi with the Comcast Wi-Fi box and help them use the Comcast equipment, which is something is a pretty much a big challenge, basically. So that's one thing I will put it this way, for someone as a contractor, when I've worked with support.com, I actually stayed with them for a year and 1 month with the company, then ended up leaving because it wasn't pretty much a great company. I just put it blatantly, and I didn't like my time over there, but that's just how it was over there too. But I'll make sure that if you stay with a company, I'll stay for about a year and a half or two, and unless the contracting jobs doesn't work out the way you want it to, yeah, it's always good to move, because with the tech world, there's always something moving back and forth too, which I know a lot of changes goes on all the time in technology. So that's one thing with people working in tech, is you definitely have to go through the changes. That's basically how it's going to go pretty much. So, but yeah, that's one of the thing I would say about it too. And good way to do WFH. So if you ever get the chance, do some WFH. Avoid working at retail throughout the time of crisis, restaurants, and because I know that no company is hiring at the moment, and I wouldn't want to be working with food, nothing like that too. I think it's not the best idea for the meantime too. So yeah. Because I would say with, like I just mentioned early in the podcast, with Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Reddit. However, if you work with these companies, you definitely have to stay in alignment with the status quo. I think this is the problem with big tech right now, is they're going through a lot of controversy. And going through companies like this, is you have to toughen up when it comes to dealing with the boss, and definitely when you're dealing with the boss with the big heads, especially the one that tells you what to do, you definitely have to follow rules and abide by them. You have to go by yes sir, yes ma'am, whatever, right? And that's how it all comes out to as well with dealing with the big honchos. And to me, working in big tech is something I wouldn't want to do, because similar to ISP companies, in general, ISP companies, you're a good misinformed person, but at the end of the day, I don't know, you probably may not like dealing with the isolation behind a tech company, pretty much in your own home by yourself. But I know many people do, and I think that's why a lot of people prefer staying at home and not having to deal with people face to face. And that's why I say there are good aspects to it, and then there are negative aspects to it too, because you definitely have to go outside once in a while, get some fresh air. And besides, being at home all the time is not the most healthiest thing. You've got to stay active throughout the times like this, with this deadly virus where it definitely hurts your lungs and you can't really breathe. And who knows how far this virus will spread through airborne. So yeah, and which I've read, and I won't get into detail on the virus, but I will say that it is 10 times daily than the flu itself. Nothing to play around. And that's why I've always go outside with caution and never ever go out without covering your face, because anything can cut into your mouth, your eyes. So just a precaution, just gonna bring it up here. So but yeah. Anyways, we're going to just get into two more stories, and we're going to go and call it a night from here. Okay, so the next story, it's about SpaceX aborts launch attempt of 6th batch of Starlink satellites due to engine power issue. So we're going to get on with the issue here. As much of a space fan I am, I'd love to get and do this quick read right here, which cites in the article over at TechCrunch. SpaceX was attempting to launch its 6th batch of Starlink internet broadband satellites, but the launch was aborted when the countdown timer reached zero on the live feed of the launch. SpaceX engineers were heard to set a launch abort on high engine power, and the announcer presenting the webcast said that it was indeed an abort related to Merlin engine power, and SpaceX later provided added detail, including that the sequence was auto-aborted by its system. The announcer noted that the vehicle appeared to be in good health, which SpaceX later confirmed, which should buy well for resetting for another attempt. SpaceX has a backup opportunity on Monday, but the actual next launch attempt is still to be determined. Very, very fascinating, this story. So, continuing on, likely as SpaceX investigates and learns more about what exactly was behind the engine power issue and when it makes sense to try again, given conditions on launch range. Okay. This would have been a record 5th flight for the Falcon 9 booster used in this launch, as well as first reuse of the fairing that protects the cargo. So if anyone wants to hear about the story that I've talked about up on SpaceX, I'll have the details in the link down on the description below on the show notes. Last but not least, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Apple story over in the headline from TechCrunch. Apple sets restrictions for COVID-19 related apps. So let's go ahead and jump on and see what this has to say. So this article is actually a few days old. On March 14th. So March 14th, which states up from TechCrunch, Apple today put in place more COVID-19 related safeguards, this time centered on its App Store in a note posted to its developer community. The company explains that it will take steps to vet submissions of apps focused on the global pandemic that has begun to impact nearly every aspect of life across the globe. To help fulfill these expectations, we're evaluating apps critically to ensure data sources are reputable, and the developers presenting these apps are from recognized entities such as government organizations, health-focused NGOs, companies deeply credentialed in health issues, and medical or educational institutions. The company explains only developers from one of these recognized entities should submit an app related to COVID-19. In addition to assessing content and restricting the number of developers who can submit, the company is also bearing the release of entertainment apps and games, looking to capitalizing on the ubiquitous and life-threatening subject matter. Apple has also asked developers to tick the time-sensitive event option in order to help expedite the submission, given that some may be aimed at helping users in time of crisis. The company will also be waiving some annual membership fees for nonprofit organizations and government agencies looking to develop apps related to the outbreak. A sensory search of COVID and Corona finds a number of apps using the terms ranging from case trackers, news applications, a reminder to wash hands in some gaming titles. So I do have a gray line between this article right here. And though I understand that this is a very serious situation on COVID-19 and how millions and millions or even billions of people around the world are now talking about the spread of COVID-19. And now let me just put it this way too. And I know this is quite a sensitive topic. However, the fact on, I don't know, the leading topic, the leading restrictions on COVID-19, I don't know. This is where I see there's a fine line to it, but then I find that taking off the options for developers, I don't know, that's the way to go. And this is why I could see that companies want to take step measures to combat fake news, fake information from other sources. But I think that this is not one of the greatest steps and to combat this too. And just imagine, like, there's people out there just wanted to create an app just for tracking COVID-19 or for brief accuracy of what, who has the virus, who hasn't, you know. And so that's why my opinion on this is a very, very great line. And it's just something I'm kind of in defense on this one here too. Though my decision on Apple is like probably, I don't know, I don't think it's great to even block that. And I understand that they want to set rules and restrictions how they can approach things, because I know it is definitely a sensitive topic. But I don't know, not the best way to put it right here, because at least with Android you can still develop applications and create your own applications the way you want to. But who knows, I'm just bringing this out there. And I know that probably they will do an okay job. But that's kind of the thing with COVID information, is my thing or my perception on this here too, is that let's say if you're dealing with a pandemic and if you need to use your smartphone for anything, my only thing is, why would anyone want to restrict an application? And especially, let's say for example, if a grocery store already has, let's say if there's an update on survivalism and pandemics, I think COVID-19 should be the topic on it. Because, like, let's say if somebody's use or develop an app for looking for grocery stores that has more inventory or something along the lines, you know, I think this information could come out useful. I don't see why Apple would want to jump in and step in, which is not a bad idea. Again, I can't say because I'm not Apple, but perfectly, definitely have a bias on this, but this is not the best approach onto it. But either or, what are your comments on today's story, especially the Apple, the last topic of the night? What do you think about this article? Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think, Apple is doing the right thing on censoring these people out, or whatever your opinion is? I would like to know. I think again, other people's perspective on it is pretty healthy and gets me to learn, hey, what everybody thinks on this too. Plus, we are definitely in a very rough time in our lives right now, dealing with COVID-19, and anyone that's affected on this. And I do definitely feel sorry for that too, as in the worst times of our lives and people staying isolated in their own homes. I think this is definitely the best time, but the best time right now is where we could definitely could use developers that can help us out through hard times like this in a pandemic crisis. And I think we should definitely develop apps to where, hey, we could use some food. We can do that too. But I'm sure there are other applications that does the same way, like Nextdoor or user-based sites such as Craigslist. I am sure there are people are talking about this between their friends and just bringing the word out about this too, because I know as for me, the way it's affecting me with the situation that's going on right now, I am doing fine. Everybody, for anyone that's planning to ask, how have you been? How have how things have gone for you? Things like that too. And as for me, I am okay as far as dealing with the virus. Now, one of the things I would say is that it could be useful to have like a app where users can track out which is near stored and which has medicines, all the necessary basics to help anybody out at this point. Ooh. And excuse me. And I think this is be a good step to for let's say Apple to really be a little bit more open on this too, because I'm sure that yes, there are CDCs, NGOs, and WHO doing their best jobs, things like that too. I don't know. Like, I think the users that are developing apps should openly release the way they want to. But again, these are Apple's rules, not mine. But however, I know that Google hasn't put in any restrictions on any of their apps on COVID-19 topics. But anyways, you guys can correct me on that too. And if you know that Google has already restricted the apps that you've already downloaded, well, let me know, guys, what you guys have to say about it for tonight's story. And we're going to go ahead and get back with more updates on Corona, Tech Talk, things like that too. And again, thank you for your time, for coming into listening to the Leland Group podcast. Also, one last thing is if you guys want to go ahead and keep yourself safe through bad times, I do have a link down in the bottom description below for the goldsilver.com. And this is something I want to just mention here, is that I've been keeping my assets stored, and with this link below or the affiliate link, you can go ahead and keep all your assets all at one, where all the precious metals like gold and silver will be the best store of assets, store throughout the crisis. And I definitely recommend gold and silver for keeping in rough times like this too, especially how we're going through a rough time into the economy going forward into 2020s to come. So it is definitely tough seeing the way it is going about. But anyways, guys, so just to let you guys know that I will put all the stories down in the description below so you guys can go ahead and check it out. So that is it for tonight's show. I hope you've had a great time listening to the show. If you didn't, let me know why, what things I could do to improve the Leland LeGray show moving on forward too. And so tomorrow I'll be going through some to-do lists and some reading here and there and about. So with that said, thanks for coming in and listening to the podcast. You guys have a great rest of your night. Goodbye.